Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We all haven't been feeling too great, as of late. So it's not short of that. And you know, it's a choice that we all had to make. You know, being down, with 17 or 18 games left, and knowing what we're gearing up for. It's my to show these guys what it's like to be at that type of level on a consistent basis. And with my attitude and with my effort, and being able to give confidence to these guys, it's just as important as me, being who I'm supposed to be. So as long as that my teammates are feeling good, then. We're in a good place.
Kyrie Irving last night after the Celtics win in Golden State. LeBron James 101. Even when he's talking in a team context, he turns it all back to I, me, me, my. Again, he starts up, we haven't been feeling too great. We had a choice to make. It's my job to lead with my attitude and my effort. It's important for my teammates. It's just unbelievable. Even when he's trying to do the right thing, he can't help but lapse into this LeBron mode, this completely narcissistic
NBA superstar mode.
All really about is. Me. It feels like he's worse than most. I'm coming to learn. I feel like he's worse than most. The ESPN walk off. The game's not 2 minutes old, and he does like the same thing. This is to ESPN.
We put a lot of emphasis on being connected, being together, and we just haven't been doing it. We've been doing a lot of talking, and honestly, it's finally about time we put some action to it. And it starts with me. It starts with my energy and where I go out there and the way I play, but these guys did an incredible job of filling in.
Again, it's all about us. It's all about we staying connected and we making the right choices, and that all starts with me. All starts with me. All starts with how I approach it. And the tone I set for my teammates, it all starts with me. We need to make the right choices. We need to be connected. We decided. And this, again, all begins with me. Me. All about me.
It really is unbelievable. Like, and so sometimes I don't know if it's he's that much of an egomaniac or if he just uses the wrong words. Like, and honestly, I think he's an egomaniac. That's what
I
believe.
I do too. I think it's the former.
But if he sits there and he says after the game, look, we need to do this, we need to do this. And the reality is, I need to set a better example there. That part of it, the criticism, the blame, a lot of that goes to me. If he puts it in those terms, doesn't it come off different?
Yes, sure.
But when he says it's about me and my energy and it spins off of me like it's, I'm the straw that stirs the drink, man.
Oh,
I'm the cat that ate the canary.
It's just insufferable. And he's still bitching about the business part of it? Like, you poor, poor guy.
It's a burden. His talent is a burden.
Being a high-priced NBA free agent. That is, I'm telling you, man, the crosses you have to bear and the adversity you have to face, making $30 million a year playing basketball and answering questions about it. I'm telling you, man, I don't know how you do it. Give me Kyrie number three post-game, Jimmy.
Business part of it is just what makes it, terrible for me, honestly, dealing with all this shit. I'm going to be honest with you guys. And then basketball part is just I have to keep that fun. That's where I'm great. That's where I love to play, be with around my teammates. That's what makes me happy.
Me, I. Again, this is all – he did two interviews. He did the ESPN walk-off and then talked to reporters all within 5 minutes. This just came from that little chunk right there. The whole montage, Jimmy.
It starts with me. It starts with my energy and where I go out there and the way I play.
It's my job, my attitude, and with my effort, being who I'm supposed to be. So as long as my teammates are feeling good, then basketball part is just I have to keep that fun. That's where I'm great. That's where I love to play.
I, me, me, my, right? It's It's just.
Oh, we got to. What's the business parts that are so difficult?
Oh,
for
him? Poor
free agency.
Yeah, I know, poor guy.
The speculation.
Poor guy.
You have to deal with some inane questions.
You're going to make $32 million a year, guaranteed for the next 10 years of your life, and play where you want to play, who you want to play with.
Yeah, it's a plus, burden. They stick a camera in your face. You get to put on switch your hat and promote your suck movie or your vegan lifestyle with Beyond Meat with the adorable little cow. Like, you're still benefiting yourself.
You know how much he has to pay in taxes on $32 million a year?
Oh, the burden. I know. Thoughts and prayers. Let's start a GoFundMe for him. Poor fella. So he still can't do that, which has led Charles Barkley. Let's give Charles Barkley credit. This morning on the Greenberg Show on ESPN, number two.
This is brilliant.
Really, just to say it like it is.
And let me tell you something else. Kyrie Irving, I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid. But I've never seen a person so miserable to have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hands. He's going to make $40, $50 million a year for the next 10, 15 years. He's already won a world championship. He's in movies. But he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen. He wanted to go to Boston because he wanted to have his own team. And what a lot of these guys don't understand is when you're a star, and I've been a star, you get all the credit, but you get all the blame. That ain't right. That ain't fair. That's just how it is.
Charles Barkley, obviously unfamiliar with Adam Jones. Knights here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
See, but the problem is, again, and Murray said it's the NBA superstar culture. All these guys are AAU products, right? They've had their asses kissed from the time they were 8 years old. And, like, not to turn it into this issue, because this one is specifically more about Kyrie. And I know we're talking about Kyrie. So now he's all of a sudden in a place where there's expectation, and he can't accept the fact that there are people criticizing him. Like, heaven forbid. Like that, you know, again, that's part of the deal, dude. You want your team. You want to be the guy. You want to be LeBron. LeBron gets skewered when things go wrong. How many times have we killed LeBron James on this show in the last 9.5 years?
Well,
so if you want to be him, this is what you get.
But it's really still not all that bad, dude. It's not all that bad. And good for Barkley for calling him out. He followed up that comment.
Nobody runs to Jaylen Brown or the Morris brothers or Gordon Hayward. They're going to come to Kyrie Irving after every game. That's the responsibility with being a great player. Being a star. Like I say, we can all get on television and complain about, oh, I can't wait to get away from this. Like, no, dude, we're paying you $40 million a year. You ain't never going to get away from this. And if your team don't win, like, listen, as a guy who was a star, but Greeny, have I ever heard you say that the Sabalos didn't win the championship?
Mm-hmm.
Have I ever heard you say Mark West didn't win the championship? What does everybody say? Charles Barkley didn't win the championship. I got to accept that. I got to live with that. But that's just how this thing works. Nobody said Mark West is one of the greatest guys I ever played with in my life. But I've never heard anybody get on TV and say, man, that Mark West didn't win the championship.
So it's the right point, right? When you're the star, when you're the max guy, it comes to you. And so Barkley wears it of, you know, the one of the best players to ever win a championship. That's on him. Whether it was anyone else's fault or not, that's comes with the territory. Kyrie can't accept it.
No, he can't accept it. Again, he wants the good parts of being the franchise guy and the superstar. He doesn't want the negative stuff that goes with it. Well, if you don't want the negative stuff, then you can't be the superstar. It all comes in one big package. That's the deal. You get it in one big package. That's it. And if you don't like it, too bad. You don't get to pick and choose which items you get to keep.
So back on Kyrie, I care most about what he does on the floor. And I think not enough attention had been paid to how he had played on the floor since the All-Star break specifically. But, you know, for larger portions of this year, I mean, his defense in those whatever handful of games after the All-Star break were just a joke. Were just pathetic. You know, but the nadir with the, you know, the low watermark being that Houston game, that was just embarrassing. And so next to that, I don't care what he says. So then he played well last night. He played better defensively, took a charge, spread the ball a little bit more, was part of an ensemble piece of their best game of the year. And so now I'm criticizing for what he said after the game. So I'm a hypocrite. Sorry. It just stands out to me that even when he wants to be a team guy, he can't just like LeBron. You got LeBron. So How do you feel about that? Just Barkley, real quick. This is a sidebar, just because I thought it was a great comment. The Adam Silver comments that, you know, the NBA players are actually sad and dealing with depression and they're an unhappy group. Barkley weighed in on that as well.
I think that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard Adam say. And listen, he's a great guy, but that's the stupidest thing I might have ever heard of any commissioner say. Listen, Greeny, these guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus.
So
that was awesome.
It feels like Charles is equating a lot of happiness to money. You know, spoken truly like you hear a lot of these guys who just missed the big,
right,
big money.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, so he's jealous of the money. He thinks that buys you happiness. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
No, look, we all know it doesn't completely, right? It makes certain things easier. But I don't know, how many guys do you hear that effectively work for a league calling the commissioner stupid?
I think that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard Adam say.
This is fair.
I mean, would Tony Romo say this about Roger Goodell?
I don't hear Rich Eisen going on saying, Rod, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard from Roger Goodell. This is true.
I agree. Like, think of the balls it takes to say that.
Yeah. I think that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard Adam say.
And I'll tell you what. Hopefully that doesn't get back to Chuck and that Adam lets it go. And that tells you why Adam Silver is the best commissioner in sports, is that he understands it's just commentary. And it's all part of the
Of course, there's going to be blowback for what he said at that Sloan thing over the weekend.
Oh, no, we have to be blowback to Silver. I hope there's no blowback to Charles Barkley.
Right. Yeah, because David Stern would probably have a guy like Charles Cann.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? That's it, Charles. You're done doing commentary. We'll find someone else who'll just say nice things about me. Like, when I first heard
Stern
this morning,
Kenny, that's why.
Totally. But that's a point, right? Yeah. Is that when I first heard it this morning, I went, oh, my God. When do you ever hear an analyst that effectively works for a league call the commissioner stupid? I thought it was awesome. It was like, talk about being as blunt as possible. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard him say.
Just before he says, Kyrie Irving's the most miserable person I've ever seen. So that's some strong, those are some good takes right there.
He's great.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Charles, what do you think about the way players, in particular Kevin Durant and Kyrie, are handling the conversations as it relates to their free agency that's pending this summer?
Well, I think if I'm a New York Knicks fan, I'm leery, because if you can't play in Cleveland and Boston, Oklahoma City and San Francisco, you cannot take the heat in New York. Greeny, you know firsthand. You've been a New York person your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, you think it's hot in that frying pan. Wait till you get to New York. I think both of these guys have handled it awful. They could have said day one, hey, I'm not going to discuss free agency, and it would have been over. Instead, they want to talk about it every single day. And then when you guys ask them about it every single day, they complain about it every single day. They should have said at training camp, hey, I'm not going to discuss free agency. And if you ask me anything about free agency for the rest of the season, I'm going to say next question and keep it moving. They both handle it awful. And they think, listen, let me tell you something. I've been around a long time. Those two guys in New York City would be must-see TV every week, especially if they're losing.
So that's just the last Barkley cut wanted to hear because he's just, he's worth the listen. One reminder, off-air show returns tonight. Felger and Maz off-air show, Facebook Live, and our Twitch channel. Murray and I will be there 6 o'clock sharp. 6 o'clock sharp, they start rolling. We run in there and give you 10 to 15 minutes off-air stuff. You can send your comments. We'll ask or answer pretty much anything you want off the grid. Murray has some thoughts on, he watched the Michael Jackson documentary. He has some thoughts on that. I have some thoughts on snow days here in Boston, so those will be two off the good things that we'll talk about. We can do whatever you want. Okay, off-air show, 6 o'clock, Facebook Live and Twitch. Join us for that. Back to your calls, as promised. What do we got here? How about Dan in Boston on Kyrie Irving? Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, what's up? I got a couple things about this guy, and I don't mean to, I'm not to defend him in any way, but here's the thing. He is really young, and he's coming off a team he just wasn't recognized as being the best. That's number one, right? But he is arrogant, and it's up to the coaches to really coach him through that because now he thinks all about him. And I guarantee you, his teammates don't like the 23-year-old kid who thinks he's holding the team on his shoulders. They don't like that he's out there saying these things. So he's going to listen to all the negative talk about his attitude, and he's not going to be humble enough to turn to, and then he's going to be turned into the villain.
Okay, so I kind of agree. He's not old enough. He's not decorated enough. He's not that far above the young guys on the team for him to carry himself like that. He's better than them. He's above them. He's older than them. But it's not like Garnett coming in here, or it's not like someone coming in here with 3 rings. This is a guy who won 1 ring as the number 2, and he's 26.
Right.
So he's just assuming this mantle that I don't blame his teammates for not fully giving him that.
No, and the more important thing to me, this mantle that he's not ready for. Because that's the thing that's striking. If he were ready for it, that's one thing. So, like, I don't get it. The part that I don't get is, like, is it really that hard to understand? If you were to watch, and to me, we did this comparison one year during the NBA Finals. LeBron talking versus Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Okay? One guy said one guy couldn't talk about himself enough, and me, I. Right? And, like, why would you pattern yourself after the a-hole? Like, why would you do that? Duncan's a better winner than LeBron. He's a better leader than LeBron.
Yeah, but you're a product of your environment. And again, he's around LeBron, so maybe it's just simply by osmosis.
He's been infected.
Yeah.
So, like, I just, his perception of what LeBron is, as great as LeBron has been, is warped. Because LeBron's an underachiever. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. He should have won more than he has. But his teammates have probably hated him over the years.
Maybe so. But that feels like the path that Kyrie has chosen. Dave in Haverhill. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? I truly believe that Robert Kraft gave our region the biggest black eye in all of the Spygate, any of that. It was deplorable, and I was really upset. He led, you know, the greatest team ever, and he has an attractive girlfriend. And I guarantee those whatever women, I don't know, didn't see pictures, but I really feel it was just a deplorable act.
So you think this was the worst of the worst?
I really do. Think about it. Cameras, place, this, that, Bentley's, awful judgment on a man. Felga, you said it. Bring him over your house. You live 30 minutes away.
So look, all right, so all that stuff, the judgment stuff, I think the league will hold against him. I think the league is going to be, meaning his fellow owners, are more agitated and more concerned with Robert getting caught and the manner in which he got caught than they are him actually getting a massage plus a little action. I think the massage plus a little action barely scratches the surface for the majority of those owners. Maybe there's one or two sanctimonious guys or, you know. But for the majority of those owners, they say the massage and whatever else is okay. But the way you were carrying on, but that's not a black eye on the team. I just think that's going to cost Robert some trust among his fellow owners.
Yeah, I mean, look, that call to me sounded pretty sanctimonious. Like, honestly, I don't equate the two. I think that in terms of the football team, if that's what we're talking about, Spygate and Deflategate are way worse.
Yes, I agree.
Like, this to me is a human transgression. Have I done it? No. Would I do it? No.
And that guy sounds like he doesn't want to watch the team anymore.
But I'll tell you what, The fight is bugging me more than the offense, which is exactly Deflategate. So you did something a lot of other teams are doing. It was the Wells report in context and all the nonsense and all the lies that drove me nuts. And now this is going to be the same thing.
You can just simply admit you had a bad moment or you're having a bad time and you made a mistake. And it's, you know, a lot of it goes away. Not all of it, but a lot of it does. But instead to lawyer up and now deny, accuse. And now what? They're hiring these guys to go attack those prosecutors down there or attack the police or attack the investigators? When the guy was clearly doing what he was doing. I have no respect for that. I have none. And now, so what? Whose side am I on? Not Roberts. I mean, I would be if he came out and said, bad mistake. I'm having a hard time or whatever. And just owned it. Then I'm on his side. Because it is what it is. We're all human. But now we're going to go attack the other side? No, I got no use for that. Sorry.
Of course.
I don't.
Because again, it's you know, it's about the arrogance and the power and the wealth and everything else. It doesn't become about the human. People can always relate to something that's human.
Junior in Hyde Park. Hi, Junior. Junior, you got to turn down your radio, your TV, whatever you got going on there. Jeff in Nashua. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how we doing? One thing I wanted to bring up was maybe with these guys, and I want to agree with Maz, you know, going through AAU and all these other things, maybe they're not being taught to be, you know, team players. Maybe they're being taught, we're gonna be the next big thing. You're going to make the next big payday.
Maz brought it up, and I agree. I think the whole culture of the sport in this country is kind of rotten.
It is rotten.
And it's really...
Not kind of, it is.
And I think the AAU culture with those superstar players, it's who plays team basketball, who has a team mindset, who really is tough and resilient and team-oriented. It just feels like Kyrie's more the norm than the exception with those high-end players. And I think that speaks to the culture of the sport in this country.
Because for the most part, until you get to the highest level, one guy can dominate, or highest levels... Okay, because college can be similar. One guy can dominate the game. When you're an NBA caliber player in high school, your team wins. That's it. It's all, unless you play another NBA caliber player. And so it is all about you. It's 100% about you. It doesn't become something less about you until probably when you get to college, and then all of a sudden it's a little different because Kentucky's got as many players as Duke does or something of the like. So these guys are like, the environment is warped. It's just not reality.
It's true. Junior, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. Junior, go ahead. You're on the air, please.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I want to talk about Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. You know, Kyrie Irving, he's a great player, but he's not a leader. And that plane ride that they did to Golden State, I really think that helped them out, and it jump-started it. Now they're going to have a bus ride for 2 hours going to Sacramento, and I think they're going to ride on that from the Golden State game. And people forget about...
Yeah, so I think someone should haul off and crack Gordon Hayward on the bus ride, too. He clearly got a good crack across the face last night on the plane.
Not what happened.
I don't want to hear what really happened.
I mean, the guy I would punch after last night is either Morris or Tatum, because I thought both of those guys made some stupid mistakes in the game last night. Those are the next guys who should be punched.
No, I just still keep beating the bag out of Gordon Hayward. whatever it is that woke him up, so clearly someone cracked him. Because they say there was a team meeting or there was something that happened on the plane. Let's face it. They got into it, and someone hauled off and cracked the guy, and it woke him right up.
Tell you what, my dark horse bet on that is Tice. I don't know. He's got a dark side, man, with all those tattoos and everything else. Tice seems like a little bit of a badass to me.
Jalen Brown.
If you pissed off Tice, I bet you he'd go to places that you never thought he would go to.
In fact, Marcus Smart held Gordon Hayward so that Jalen Brown could pop him.
Jimmy, I'm telling you, Tice has got some secrets.
Pop him with the wet sausage.
Jimmy has now officially implicated all 11 other players on the team in hitting a... Someone did. That's all I know. Coming up next, the Bruins' new enforcer and who is now meting out justice. And is that the right guy to be doing it? We talk about that. But first, breaking news with the Red Sox today. I don't know if you knew this. No joke. A member of the 25-man roster, 40-man roster, got suspended for drugs today. PED suspension coming down the pike for the Red Sox. Here are details in the update.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
See how Michael Ferlin goes now.
Here they go. They're going to drop the glove. It's going to be Ferlin and David Backes. High slot in the Bruins zone.
Third straight game. Or three out of four for Backes.
Yes. Each guy fighting right-handed. Ferlin with a couple of rights. Jersey jab with the left. Backes with the right. Ferlin with the left. And down they go. And the benches will salute each combatant.
I don't know if it's enforceable. I think there's times during a game or during a season when you need to step up for your teammates. And, you know, whether it was a liberty taken or, you know, tonight's a, it's a hard, clean hit. But if guys are running out of skill guys, we need to make them accountable. And I felt there was an opportunity for me to step up and, you know, fill that role. And I asked Butchie when they're in Vegas, when we had a meeting, that I could be put in roles to, or places to have a bigger impact on games. And, you know, whether that's with my gloves off or my gloves on, you know, I think he's provided me those opportunities, and hopefully I've done the job for him.
All right, I want to get to the David Backes angle from last night's Bruins game. It's the thing that interests me the most from what was an interesting game last night for the Bruins and another big win. But first, we have Celtics breaking news about guess who?
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The positivity surrounding last night's Celtics win over the Warriors didn't last very long, as the Celtics have officially announced that Kyrie Irving is out for tonight's game against the Sacramento Kings with a left thigh contusion. So Kyrie Irving injured, not playing tonight against the Kings.
Okay, so why should the good vibe end with this news?
Because I say it should.
I don't get it. It feels minor. It's a bruise.
Yeah, but oh, let's build off of this and how well that they played together. And look at this. Kyrie's being the consummate teammate. He's saying all the right things. Oh, now he's out. He can't play against the Kings. So it goes right back into the toilet tonight. You watch.
Does it say when it happened?
No.
Okay. Because I question whether it's a thigh contusion. I'm sorry.
Well, what was the thigh bruise that he had, you know, before the All-Star break?
Is it even a thigh? Maybe it's his eye because Gordon Hayward fought back.
I like the theory. No, that's a good theory.
No. But quickly, he. What was the thing before the All-Star break? That was his left thigh, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe it's that thing just acted back up.
Mm.
Or it's a non-national TV game. It's the Sacramento Kings. It's a bus ride.
Now you think that injury is real because then we thought it was fake.
So, I don't know what it is with this guy. I don't trust him.
What do you think, Mike?
I don't trust him.
My guess is they don't want him to play on back-to-back
exactly,
nights.
That he's fragile. They know he's fragile. They've managed him all year. They've shut him down. I mean, he's already missed 12, 13 games or something like that, so it doesn't take much for him to shut down, so he's shutting down.
I bet he's still in San Francisco with Durant, and he's not even with the team.
Okay, let's see if he's on the bench
tonight.
I love
that idea, Murray.
Great idea.
So I'll tell you what. I told you this off the air a second ago. Last night, and I'm trying to find the play. I think it was midway through the third quarter. And I'm going to have to go back and look at the video tonight when I get home.
Oh, so now we want facts.
Just go.
No, but he was sort of running a kind of a pick and roll with Horford at the top of the key. And he went one direction, changed another, and his left leg buckled. And his knee bent inward, and then he started limping. And he ended up with a couple of free throws out of it, I think. So I'm going to go back and look, but I right then and there thought something happened to his knee, and that's his bad knee, his left one, I think.
Okay, but he finished the game and didn't look
worse
for wear.
He did. He stayed in there. Yes, absolutely. He stayed in there for the remainder of the quarter, if I remember right.
So, but again, the thigh bruise that he suffered, I can't remember the game, But the third game before the All-Star break, because he missed the next two, I thought was the left thigh. The injury that he had, the infection and all that stuff happened, was the right knee, correct?
Oh, so now I get it backwards. Okay, go ahead.
I think, I'm just talking off the top of my head. Either way, they played well without Kyrie. I don't think it changes the impact of tonight's game. I expect them to win now, frankly.
So I still look at it and say they got to show me that they can play the same way they did. And you know what? Hayward in particular. Now with Kyrie out, okay, here you go.
Okay.
You get the center stage again, like all of it. My opinion on them overall has not changed.
Jimmy, quickly, because the last time he had this, it was against the Clippers. That's a game he left. They ended up losing right. That. Does he have a Clippers thing? Because they're coming up on this road trip.
It might be, but I just looked at the injury report from the time he missed. It was a strained right knee.
Oh, I thought it was the thigh. Either way, he's in the Bay Area with Durant having sushi.
You're saying those last two games before the All-Star break were right knee?
Right knee strain. I'm looking right at the Celtics PR injury report.
Could have sworn it was a thigh.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see.
I bet the Celtics are calling it thigh because they don't want to say knee. Again, like I'd be willing to bet that.
Okay.
Because everyone's antenna will go up if they see knee.
So he missed, he being Kyrie Irving, pronouns pal, missed the Cleveland game with a left hip strain. That was February 5th.
I don't know when that is. I can't remember.
They I just told you it was February 5th against Cleveland.
Whatever. Okay. They shut him down when he has little things. We'll see if it's a big thing. If he finished the game, how big could it be?
So he finished the quarter, and then he didn't play in the fourth quarter because it was a blowout.
All right.
And the fact is that he finished the Lakers game with LeBron and then left during the Clippers game, too.
Say, so what's your point?
He wants the spotlight.
Yeah.
So he was willing to gut it out and play against the Warriors on national TV against his buddy KD.
Yep.
But when it comes to the excremental Kings, the Sacramento Kings and the bus ride, he wants nothing to do with it. So, oh, my thigh hurts.
Mm-hmm. Excremental, I like that. That's good.
So that's what we're going with.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, I'm happy to go with that. That's fine. We can make that the official Felger-Maz platform on this story. That's fine. I'll go along with you guys. If Gordon Hayward got punched on the plane last night, then this is easily just as feasible.
He stays in the Bay Area to have sushi with Durant because he owes Durant dinner because Durant didn't show up last night so they could throw the game so that all the pressure's off Kyrie for a night.
Okay, now you're making a mockery of this. Can I get to Backus, please?
6:05, off-air show.
I like the idea better. That Kyrie punched Hayward in the face on the flight, and Hayward kicked him in the knee on the bus ride last night.
Excellent.
But go ahead.
No, you guys go ahead.
No, get to Backus. I'm done. It's out.
No.
It's out. Oh, quit pouting, you big baby.
I'm not pouting.
Go to Backus. Go.
On the Bruins last night. I love their response in general. Even though that was not a dirty hit on Johansson, they immediately got their backs up and got physical. And as I said earlier, this did feel like an old school Bruins whale game from the early 90s, like Pat Verbeek and Randy Burge running around out there. It felt that way between the uniforms and the way the next couple of shifts went after that Johansson hit. It was great. It was brilliant. It's tremendous. And I think, again, it really bodes well for that Bruins team. Even though they overreacted, it was a totally clean hit. They still got their backs up and responded physically, and that was terrific. And they ultimately took the fight there with Ferland, the guy who hit Johansson, and it ended up being David Backus, who once again got his ass kicked. Backus has fought three of the last four games. He's lost two of those three fights badly. Lost them badly, and last night he lost badly again. Got floored. So while I love the response, I love Backus's attitude and makeup. Because again, David Backus at 35 years old has already made tens of millions of dollars, is guaranteed $6 million a year this year and the next two. David Backus does not at this stage need to be taking those fights. In fact, he doesn't need to be doing anything except collecting a paycheck. Except he has taken this role to stay on the ice. He started to get benched. He started to be scratched because he's really not an effective winger anymore. And he had a meeting with Cassidy a couple weeks ago in which he, as Backus will tell you, asked him, he just heard it in this cut, Butchie, you know, what can I do to stay on the team, stay on the ice, get a role? And they came up, or he thinks it's this, that he's, when it's time to fight, he's the guy that does it. And I have a lot of respect. Boy, that's a tough guy. That's a man's man to do that when you've had all the concussions he's had. He's had a ton of concussions over his career. Again, he's 35. He's guaranteed $12 million plus in the next couple of years. He doesn't need to do anything. He could go up to the ninth floor and sip coffee all night and collect his check. Instead, he fights to stay in the lineup. He's fighting now because he thinks that that's his way on the ice, as if he were a 4A, you know, AHL player to stay on the ice. And that, to me, shows a lot of character. Does it also show that he's really reckless with his health? And you sort of have pause with that because he's had so many concussions. And I think that's sort of the holdup some people have with this. Like, again, Nana, Kevin Paul DuPont, there on the beat, he sort of asks, yes, Backus this, and the sound isn't great, but you can hear back. You can hear DuPont say, are you worried about you? Are you worried about you and all the concussions that you have? This is Backus' response.
I just asked Butch if he worries about you, given that you've had your concussions. You've been so willing to get in there these last three games. Do you worry about you?
My wife probably does, but I think
I bet she does.
That can't be a thought in your head when you're out playing in the NHL. I think there's, you know, she might worry about me driving over 65 miles an hour on the pike too, and potential car accidents or whatever else that that could come. But I think the game is, you look at the stats and you're not as prone to concussions actually fighting as you are from whiplash or side hits or shoulders to the face or elbows to the face. And I guess it's a calculated decision, and if I'm going to stay, you know, part of this team and stay part of a winning team, that's, you know, maybe going to be part of my role, and I'm okay with it. And sticking up for each other, sticking together. Again, it's a staple of what we do here.
Okay, tough guy. Tough guy, great character, part of the DNA of the team that's really positive, and a lot of respect for David Backus. Do you worry about him concussion-wise? Is he dumb to be doing this? So that's really the crux of it there. From a team standpoint, it's too bad they don't have a guy there on the fourth line who can fight. So actually winning the fight is also important too. Or having someone else do it so Backus doesn't need to get his brain beaten in every other night.
All right, but just to set a tone or prove a point. So like the fan in me loves it, but I know even when I was there last week against Tampa, when I initially saw, I was like, yeah, fight. And then I saw who it was, I was like, oh. Like, because there's a cringe factor there. It's the Wes Welker at the end, like one hit, and he could be having the rest of his meals through a straw type thing.
So I feel, you know, there's a part of me that feels bad for him, as I think we all do. But then team standpoint, it's too bad the league has evolved to the point where the fourth line doesn't have those guys anymore. So there's no one out there to do it other than David Backus. And so there's that. I got three calls on this lined up. We have to be under a minute each or else we're not going to get them in. Frank, go first.
All right. Public service announcement first. No one cares if you're thankful that they took your call. Have your point ready and just, you know, be ready, people. You're making it worse for the rest of us.
Go.
Now, as far as David Backus goes, I think he said it the best. It's a conscious decision, you know, like Derek Sanderson said, if you don't like fighting, watch tennis, okay? And the other thing, losing the fight, yes, your teammates want you to win the fight and you want to win the fight, but you don't always have to win the fight. I've made this point before. Max Talbot, years ago, went out there and challenged Dan Carcillo and got his hat handed to him. And what happened after that? It completely changed the series, and Pittsburgh won. It's not about winning or losing sometimes. It's just about defending your buddy.
Thanks, Frank. I think taking the fight is a great sign for the team. This team's willing to take the fights. Winning them, Backus winning them, is a whole other story. Mike and Woburn, go.
First of all, I don't think it was a overreaction. We don't know if a hit is dirty now until the NFL Player Safety Office and all the Twitter hockey police uprooted it and slow it down. It's like basically the physical altercation version of the offside challenge now, whether a hit is clean or dirty or not. So teams just basically say, you want to run a guy? I don't care if it's clean or dirty. We're going to fight you. Props to DuPont. I'm happy that Elliot Nerf and the no-touchables had time to take, from banning black market dodgeball games and going out and finding, getting down to the, you know, real nitty-gritty answers that we need in today's NHL. It's ridiculous that this guy is still doing this when years ago he used to talk about guys taking their heads off each other and had no problem with it.
I know DuPont's gone soft on us. So has Milbury, by the way. A lot of guys have changed. A lot of guys have turned on the concussion thing. I think... And I don't mean to bash DuPont. It was a good question. I mean, Backus has had maybe dozens of concussions. Backus is one of those guys, been playing so long, he doesn't have the real number. He used to play when guys said, get back out there. You got your bell rung. So he's had untold number of concussions. It's a fair question. Are you worried about your health with this role that you've taken on? Totally fair question by DuPont. I don't mean to dump on him, but he has become kind of a nana when it comes to that. He's a consenting adult, Dupes. It's, you want to keep smoking those cigarettes? Go ahead. You want to keep sticking your nose in there after all those concussions? Go ahead. Adam in Boston, go.
Hey, guys. So, this thing with Backus, this is the best thing that he's done all year. Personally, like the pickup a couple of years ago, he was good in St. Louis. He's been god-awful as a hockey player this year, and we have very few people that can be physical. So him doing this was the first time I've actually been happy to see him on the ice.
I just respect that he wants to stay in it. And this is what he's doing to stay in it. I'm sorry, you have any thought on this?
No, I was just going to say, the end of the cut that we played, and I missed it the first time we played it, like the way he said it, that's a staple of what we do here. Like, tell me that doesn't tell you everything about the guy, just that.
Yeah, he's a huge part of their DNA.
Right, this is what we do here. This is our culture. We defend one another. Like, end of story. To me, that's it. Like, that, I missed that the first time.
Okay, so there's that. Final word comes your way next.
Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Well,
I'll remind you, Felger and Maz, off-air show, me and Murray, Facebook Live and Twitch at 6 o'clock sharp. We run out of here, and we run out of here, and we run right in there. So,
or in my case, we run out of here.
You guys have run out of here. We run out of here, and 6:00, Facebook Live, join us.
And thank you for taking that moment so I could sit on my hands to try to warm them up, because Maz won't stop effing with
ridiculous.
Oh, God, would you shut up? Seriously. I haven't touched a thing in months. Today, I touched it once, and you're crying.
Yeah, it's because it's freezing in here.
Oh, God, you're big.
Why don't you just settle down?
Right.
Why don't you just relax a little bit? And decide, you know, you run so hot. My God, just chill.
Because I put energy into the show. That's what I do.
Well, earlier today, we listened to some Kyrie Irving sound, this specifically.
It's my job, my attitude, and with my effort, you know, me. You know, being who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, me, my. This reminded you, Felger, of this song.
I'm in mine.
It's really more of a George Harrison
vehicle.
Well,
no, but you need the bridge there. That's the part I was talking about.
Well, here we go. As it turns out, that Kyrie sound and you thinking of this song by the Beatles, it all matches up very nicely.
Thank you.
It starts with me. It starts with my energy and where I go out there and the way I play.
I'm in mine.
It's my job, my attitude, and with my effort.
It's about me doing this and me doing this.
I'm in mine. You know, me, you know, being who I'm supposed to be, so that's where I'm great. That's where I love to play.
My attitude and me and my eyes.
I, me, my.
It starts with me. My energy and where I go out there and the way I play.
With the me, me, my.
My attitude and my effort.
My.
That's where I'm great.
You know, we all talked about us and we getting together and playing on a string and the connected effort, and it starts with me. He can't help himself.
It starts with me.
Exactly.
Good little earworm that you
Excellent. Thank you.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.